Amen. Last night was wonderful, wasn't it? Yeah. As we was walking off the stage, I told Pastor Phillips this privately, but I think I need to say it publicly. I told him and I wanted him to tell his mom that God got some special things for them because this is a part of Pastor Phillips' legacy. He got some special things for y'all. And I was more elated because I saw you, Ms. Mom. I saw you with a smile on your face. And when I saw you with that smile on my face, on your face, the first thing crossed my mind is you're able to see the fruit of his labor. And so I told Pastor Jeremiah last night, I said, look, God got some, praise God. I told Jeremiah, I said, God got some things for you and your mom and your family that's just unexplainable because you don't know the effect that Pastor Phillips has had on the kingdom of God. And so I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to let you know that's part of his legacy. Praise God. You may be seated. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. How many of y'all know this by heart? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Some of us know this by heart. But this morning, there's only one way for you to release the supernatural potential in you. All week long, we've been working towards releasing the supernatural potential of God in you. We know we have to die. Yes, sir. We know we have to look on the inside more than the outside. Right? Yes, sir. We learned that we have to expect the supernatural. Yes, sir. Because that's who we are.
Yes, sir.
That's what we've been learning all week. So this morning, I want to give you, because to every, especially if you're a born again Christian, to every death, there's a resurrection.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen. All right. So if there is a killing of your flesh, there has to be a resurrection of something else.
Yes, sir.
See, the killing is getting something out of the way. Uh-huh. So what was hidden and not accessible can now be accessible and seen.
Yeah.
So this morning, we started a very familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse. We'll do some reading. And then we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
New
creature. What happens? What else happened? I'll become new. So when you got born again, I need you to see the scriptures this morning. We've been trained to see the scriptures from a self-centric point of view about what the Word of God can do for us. Right?
Yes, sir.
I want you to see the scripture this morning from a God-centric point of view.
Okay.
Yes, see it from a God-centric point of view of what was God's intent.
Right.
Because if we just alone look at this from a self-centric point of view, we're thinking about heaven and us benefiting.
Yeah. Right.
But when we look at it from God's point of view, we see that God has a new way of us doing things.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Here on earth.
Here on earth. Yes, sir.
Not just us born again so we can get to heaven, but he has a new way for us to do things here on earth. It says, any man that be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, what?
All
all things have become new. So if old things have passed away, then that means what it's really saying is the world system for us has passed away. And every way how they do things, that's passed away for us. We have a new way of doing things. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:2 that you have to renew your mind. Right? Why the mind need to be renewed? So we don't conform to this world, but what? Be that scripture and this scripture is related. See, old things have passed away. In other words, old things like I got to go to work if I want to get paid. You know, it's just the world system. But, you know, old things have passed away. Like, you know, we have to kill bulls and goats for redemption. That's old things. So now, if the old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. We have to train ourselves. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me that. We have to train ourselves in these new ways and these new things. So now I need you to stop seeing the church as a hospital. I need you to stop seeing the church as a hospital. I need you to start seeing the church as a training ground. See the church as a training ground. Now, when we look at the church as a hospital, how many have heard that statement before? That the church is a hospital. What that does is it takes the responsibility off of you of taking care of your spirit. Because somebody else is going to do it. Pastor is going to do it. The elders are going to do it. I don't have to spend time with God because I'm going to ask pastor a question and he going to give me the answer. She going to give me the answer. So, but when we see the church as a training ground, that means now I have some responsibility. All right, watch this. That's special. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Meaning reconciled. Me and Ron always talk, both of us are accountants, we understand the word reconcile. Whatever is on the left side got to equal what's on the right side. So he said he's bringing us back into reconciliation with him. So whatever's on the left side got to equal what's on the right side. Whatever's on the right side got to equal what's on the left side. So in other words, God trying to get us back to our original intent. See, born again has heavenly rewards, but earthly benefits.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say that again. Being born again has heavenly rewards, but earthly benefits. We've been so focused on the rewards that we haven't even realized the benefits. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us the word of reconciliation. Right? We reconciled. Now watch what he says in this 20th verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here, he's saying, listen, you're born again, you're reconciled. Now you are an ambassador. Yes. Other words, you got work to do. There's some representations got to be made in the earth realm through us. If we don't represent him, there's people that's not going to know that God exists. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin,
that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, righteousness is not only a position. Righteousness is also a way of doing things. That's why in Matthew 6:33 it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That just simply means doing the kingdom his way right. Now that's important because the body of Christ now has a tendency to try to do kingdom their way. Instead of his righteousness or his right way. So we have to begin to come to the training ground to begin to understand how to do righteousness. Because if I am the righteous of God, that means the righteous of God got to be coming from me. If I'm going to be the righteous of God, that means I can do the righteous of God. Are you seeing this? All right, watch this. Now, watch what the Apostle Paul says. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then as
workers.
What?
Workers.
We then as
workers.
We then as
workers
with him.
Yeah.
Beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So now, thank you, Holy Spirit. So now, if the Apostle Paul is telling me I'm a worker, then grace cannot just be for covering sin. Because he said that I didn't receive the grace of God in vain. Because he expected me to do some work. He's expecting me to do some work. So therefore, the grace of God would not be given. Let's define the word grace. The word grace, grace simply means to be empowered. So wherever grace shows up, you are now empowered to do more. So now when grace comes to eradicate sin, it's just simply saying it's empowering us not to sin. It's not trying to cover the sin. See, the reason why Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us is because he wanted to reconcile us back to God the Father, because the God, our Father, has things for us to do. And we can't do them if we're riddled in sin. See, it wasn't the elimination of sin so we can get to heaven. It's an elimination of sin so God can use you now. Go with me to John, the third chapter. I think Dr. Forbes went there yesterday with Nicodemus. You went there with Nicodemus. Yeah, go to John, the third chapter with me. John, the third chapter. Now, remember, the church is, we got to change it. The church is not a hospital.
Right.
See, the church is a part of the kingdom. It's not the kingdom. It's a part of the kingdom. So I equate the church to the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden wasn't the whole world.
Right. Yes, sir.
It was a part.
Yeah.
It was a part of the world. It was a part of the world that God had touched as training ground for Adam and Eve. All right, if you don't believe me, then when they sin, God say, you got to get out of Eden. Where did they go?
Right.
They had to go somewhere. So the church, so watch this. So the church is a training ground so that we can go out into the world.
Yes, sir.
Let me read this. John, the third chapter. Because we use this scripture, and rightfully so, to explain the born-again experience, how Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. But very seldom do we pay attention to what Nicodemus was saying. Watch this. John, the third chapter. First one, it said, there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Watch this. Watch what he said. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from, that teacher come from God. Listen to what he said. He says, for no man can do these miracles that thou does except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Now, see, we immediately with self-centric ideas and our self-centric thought process through our self-centric eyeglasses, we read the word of God, we think he's talking about heaven. He ain't talking about heaven right here. Notice what Nicodemus asked. Nicodemus say, I know these miracles you're performing can't be done unless God is with you. So what Nicodemus was asking is, I want God to be with me so these same miracles can be happening in my life. Meaning that he was looking for immediate gratification. See, the Jews understood they had a promise with God. They wasn't really worried about, sometimes they got confused about how Jesus was going to come or who Jesus was and how they would get to heaven. But they didn't have no question about what the reward was going to be. What they wanted to know is how I get from under these laws. So Nicodemus wanted these miracles operating in his life. So he asked Jesus, and Jesus, watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, except a man be, watch this, he said, except a man be born again, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He cannot see, perceive, understand, wrap his mind around God's ways of doing things. So your born again experience is for you to see God's kingdom in the earth realm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whether you accept Jesus Christ or not, heaven is going to be there. But your born again experience is supposed to put you in a position to where you can see the supernatural now. Are you seeing this? Yes. Go with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter. See, once again, I want you to see the scriptures from a God-centric point of view. A lot of times we read the scripture from a self-centric point of view, and we trying to see how this is going to benefit me. How this gonna benefit me? How this gonna benefit me? Instead of saying, okay, God, what's your intent? All right, Genesis, because I'm finna show you right now, you don't ever have to ask for the blessing. No, you don't have to ever ask for the blessing. Now, let me help you out here. For all you Bible scholars that now want to, you know, I said that, and now you want to come up with that one scripture. All y'all in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter right now. All y'all done read the book. Lord, bless me indeed. But I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something. You don't ever have to ask for the blessing because God gave us instructions of how the blessing comes. And I'm going to show you where Jabez did that very thing. But because of our self-centric way of looking at the word of God, we took it a different way. All right, Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Praise God. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Let me get there. Starting at the first verse. Most of y'all know this scripture by heart, these 1, 2, and 3 by heart too. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Right? You see that, right? And make thy name great. Here's the key. And thou shalt be a blessing. Do you know what that was actually saying? God was actually telling Abram, I'm going to empower you to prosper. Now, what? Now, here's the thing. Empower to prosper goes so much further than your pocketbook. He says, I'm going to empower you to accomplish what I want you to accomplish. And as you accomplish what I'm asking you to accomplish, all these things will be added unto you. He said, I'm going to bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. What God was actually saying is, Abraham, or Abram at the time, you're going to be a source of blessing. You're going to be a source of blessing. Okay, let's read verse 3. He said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You don't ever have to ask for the blessing, because right there, God gave us the direction of how we are blessed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. See, now I need you to start thinking God-centric. There's a reason God designed it this way. There's a reason why God did it this way. God did it this way so that he can get his will accomplished.
Right.
Yes, sir. Right.
He can use us to get his will accomplished, because if the blessing came any other way, God would never get his will done. He'll never get it done. Why? Because you got what you want. You got what you want. You think a different way. You think a different way. God said, I made y'all. I know how y'all operate. So I'm going to make it simple. See, this is what got Satan kicked out of heaven, is because he wanted to think his own way. Not according to the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
So this is why pride and ego can't exist in the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
Because the blessing or to be blessed, you're going to have to. Let me prelude what I'm about to say. Most of us are understanding this, but I want to bring you to a level this morning where it's just undeniable for you. You know what Apostle Paul told him in 1 Corinthians 9? He said, if I'm not an apostle to anybody else, I'm an apostle to you. You got to flip that around. You may not be a pastor to anybody else, but to me, you're my pastor. You might not be an apostle to anybody else, but to me, you're my apostle. Because without that mentality, you'll never get the blessing. God put the blessing in a man or a woman, made them the source of a blessing, because, watch this. Now, it's not just because God didn't do it just to do it. Abraham had responsibilities. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. So God had given him an assignment. And then God said, all those that catch on to that assignment, that agenda, God said, I am going to bless them. Are you seeing this? So go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians is the, in my opinion, is the most apostolic book in the New Testament. Because this first chapter, Paul begins to lay out why you apostolic. Then he begins to pray for you that you catch on to your apostolic self. Go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Yes, Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, the 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, Watch this now. This is the Apostle Paul. Cease not to give thanks for you, making a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, or the Father of success, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, right? And what the riches of the glory of
his.
That scripture ain't got nothing to do with your inheritance. Nothing to do with what you get. It has nothing to do with what you get. He's talking about his inheritance. So therefore, the supernatural potential that is on the inside of you cannot be released until you get connected to the agenda of God. And you can't get connected to the agenda of God till you get connected to a man or woman that's privy to the agenda of God. See, all those that were floating around Abraham and would not help him, they had supernatural potential inside of them that could not be released. See, God has watch this now. You are a carrier of the agenda of God. You are a carrier of the agenda of God. But if I don't get connected with someone who is privy, who knows the secret things, who can see some things that I can't see. But the problem, but the thing is, it's not when they see it and show it to me, then I can see it. Not only can I see it, but I can run with it.
Oh, Lord, hold on a moment.
Write the vision and make it plain. We took that and made it a self-centric scripture. You may be seated. We made that a self-centric scripture instead of making it a God-centric scripture. If you go, we put that scripture back in context. It was talking about write the vision that God wanted and make it plain so that he that readeth that vision can be released supernaturally. So when I read the vision of the house and I get that vision down on the inside of me, I'm able to release supernatural potential on the inside of me that I could release by myself. God designed it that way. He designed it that way. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter.
Yes,
Ephesians the fourth chapter. Watch this. Ephesians the fourth chapter. I told you it was an apostolic. I told you Ephesians was an apostolic book, didn't I?
Yeah.
Ephesians the fourth chapter. Look at this. Look at the 11th verse. He said, watch this. Wait a minute. Let me back up so I can verify this because I want you to see who this came from. Because this didn't come from Apostle Paul. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Who gave gifts unto men?
Jesus.
Right? Jesus gave gifts unto men, right? He said, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? What Paul was just giving extra credentials of why Jesus could give gifts. Because Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth and got all the keys, got all the power, rose from the dead, and then come and establish this. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, I want to get to. For what? Now, this is in chronological order. For the perfecting, another word for perfecting is what?
Mature.
See, we know these things, but we got to put them together so that we can build momentum.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For the maturing of the saints. Now, if I'm supposed to be maturing, then the church can't be a hospital.
Right.
That means maturity, I got some responsibility in my maturing. Let's break it down even simpler. When my man or woman of God comes to the pulpit and I'm not paying attention, I'm not digesting what they're saying, that means I'm not trying to mature. So maturing is my responsibility. It's not God's responsibility. It's not your man or woman of God's responsibility. Maturing is your responsibility. Now, why do I need to mature? Because I got to do what? So watch this. So if you want to stick with the statement that the church is the hospital, then you can't kill your pastor by letting him or her do all the work trying to fix people. All right. Be seated. You know, the apostolic is so real, it's so easy. Dr. Forbes said, you can't catch it in the flesh. You're going to have to be in the spirit. Bishop Robinson said, you know, you got to look at your other self. The apostolic apostle has given us a way in which everybody can be involved in the apostolic, no matter your maturity level. I'm going to give it to you. No matter your maturity level, you can get involved with the apostolic, because in maturing and growing up, you got to start somewhere. Right? And so in times past in church, we think in maturity is just, okay, if I get on the usher board. Or if I get in a choir. Or if I become a greeter. Or if I become on a mission board. Or if I... You know, we thinking those things, that we're trying to find our way. Yeah. The apostolic makes things simple, right? Okay. See that Slack app? Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. See that Salvation Reformation?
Yep.
That's something everybody. That's something everybody.
Yep.
I'm going to say it again.
Yep.
That's something everybody.
Yep.
Now, here's the one. Hey, all right, let's go back to Genesis 12 and 3. Now, I'm talking to LTMA pastors. I'm talking to the members. I'm preaching to everybody this morning. Genesis 12 and 3 says, he told Abraham, I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. If you're in LTMA and you're not doing nothing, then you're trying to hold a train up. If you ain't trying to witness to nobody, and we've been given instructions, but yet you want the blessing, and you want your supernatural potential. See, I got a problem. I have a problem with people who can preach to a crowd but can't preach to one. Okay. In the apostolic, we got to get rid of these media preachers.
I got to. Yeah.
We got to get rid of these media preachers. When you can't deal with nobody one on one with the very basic. You just moving the needle from getting them from you just getting them to not go to hell.
Right.
And that's the very thing that Jesus died for. And you say that, okay, that's for everybody else to do. That ain't for me to do. But we've been given an easy way to be involved with the apostolic. Now, most people that know me, they know my heart. I'm not fussing. I'm trying to reveal and give entryways into the apostolic because...
Yes, sir.
There... We have to set an order in the house or a prescription or a culture in the house to where the enemy can't come in and stop what we're doing. Apostle has give us directions. This is why in LTMA, we check who's coming in. Because what happens, let me tell you what happens. You may be seated. Here's what happens. And here's what happens to a lot of us in churches. We join. We show up a Sunday and the man or woman of God preach a powerful message that touch our heart. Right. We get excited. Uh-huh. And we join ourselves to them because of that experience. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. But now when it's time to mature, there are some things that Apostle had done behind the scenes that has been organized to expose you to it. And when we expose you to it, now it's a problem. So when your man or woman of God begin to train you to be able to benefit from the grace that's on their lives, now, oh, I don't know if I signed up for all of this. You see, remember now, he gave the fivefold ministry gift for the perfecting of the saints, right? Yeah. For what? To work in the ministry. So why? Yeah, so the body of Christ can be built. So the body of Christ is not going to be built because of what the fivefold do. I need you to stop seeing the word of God from a self-centric point of view and see it from a God-centric point of view. The fivefold ministry gift job is not to build a body. And so we have to, in a few moments, I'm going to take time to set some structure for our houses. Because there's some, if you get connected, there's going to be some supernatural potential released in you. Yes. But you're going to have some meekness. Yes.
Right. Yes, sir.
You're going to have some meekness because God is going to use you, but you can't get beside yourself. Because the enemy will try to trick you to get you beside yourself so he can get you disconnected from the agenda of God that's in that man or woman of God so he can shut down your supernatural potential. And so if he can shut down your supernatural potential, he can stop the body of Christ from being edified. Is this making sense? See, there's some supernatural potential in you that God wants to release, but he has a certain prescribed order of how it is released. And the reason why it's like that is so that momentum can be built. It's not about control. It's not about that. It's about formation. It's about energy being, it's about energy, synergy. Synonymous energy. We all go in the same direction, so we are a mighty moving force. Nobody can't be picked off. Nobody from out, no wolves can't come into the fold. And we can't be carried around with every wind of doctrine. You may be seated. Now, we have to get to a point. Remember I said, old things have to pass away, behold, all things must become new. We have to make a shift from leaving out to being sent out.
Yes, sir.
Now, based on the previous conditions that we've been under, where the apostle wasn't in his or her place, the prophet wasn't in his or her place, we were just operating off of the pastoral, the teacher, and the evangelistic model. Now, I don't know how in the world we thought we were going to accomplish the three things that Jesus said we were going to accomplish with three of the gifts when he gave us five. He gave us five to do it, but we've been trying to do it with three. No wonder we've been going around in circles. So there's some supernatural potential released on the inside that's going to have to be released on the inside of you. You're going to have meekness. Meekness simply means what? Harnessed power. I'm anointed, but I'm controlling it. Yeah. Oh, as a matter of fact, As a matter of fact, a lot of people get anointing and grace confused. A lot of people get anointing and grace confused. The anointing removes burdens and destroy yokes. Grace gives you permission to remove those burdens and destroy those yokes. Why would Paul say, ye are all partakers of my grace? Because Paul had permission to go someplace in the spirit that others didn't have permission to go. But if they simply connect to him, then you've been granted permission to go to those places and your anointing will be effective. See, now watch again. Let me get you off of self-centric and get you on God-centric. I'm not just talking about preaching.
Right.
I'm not just talking about you becoming a pastor or a teacher. There are some business people in here that when you connect to God's agenda properly, God will open doors for you that no man can open. And if they do shut the door, God will step in front of you and open the door and say, we coming in. Wherever you are in life, wherever you at in life, all you anointed.
Okay.
Let me go to the scripture. Go to 1 John 2, because I got to get you to see this. Because we're always looking at the anointing of the pulpit. And the reason why we keep looking at the anointing of the pulpit is because we really want the grace. In other words, the grace is attached to that person because that person is attached to the agenda of God. There's no need to have permission to do something if you ain't planning on doing nothing. God ain't no sense God giving you permission to go somewhere, do something, or to be powerful if you ain't planning on being powerful for him. So the grace is attached to a person because that person is attached to the agenda. Let's see. 1 John 2. Now we're about to understand this scripture. 1 John 2:27. It says, but the anointing, right? Which ye have received of him. Come from God. Received of him, abided in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as he had taught you, ye shall what?
Abide
in him. Other words, he's saying you have to have meekness. Your anointing has to abide in the agenda of God. What you want from your man or woman of God is the grace. You had to be a partaker of their grace. If you're a partaker of their grace, it's only because you became a partaker of the assignment or the agenda on their lives. If you don't take the agenda or the assignment on their lives into your life, then you have no need for their grace, so your anointing will lie dormant. You have supernatural potential on inside of you, but it will lie dormant because you haven't given it an opportunity to be released because you're trying to be an island on your own. I know most of us are understanding what I'm saying, but I'm just trying to push you closer. You have to get to a point to where your dreams die. You have to get to a point where your dreams die.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got these goals I'm trying to reach. Listen, I get it. Okay, if you don't want to kill them, just put them on the back burner. Here's what I mean. Put them on the back burner because I promise you, you will forget about them dreams. Because when you get hooked up to God's agenda, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could... I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Yes.
Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Yes.
So whatever your little pea brain came up with, my pea brain too, whatever our little pea brains came up with, if it hadn't come from God, it needs to die. Because I promise you, God got more in store than what your little pea brain, my little pea brain came up with. You may be seated. I got 15 minutes. Let me go through this real quick. Number one, you must have a calling from God. Wherever you, make sure you have a calling from God. And see, this is a progression into the fivefold ministry gift. But it starts with a calling. See, it starts with a calling, not just to be called to preach. That may come and it may not come. But all of us are called to work. All of us are called to help build the kingdom, to build the body of Christ. Now, the first thing God did, if you know, read throughout the Bible, the first thing God did every time he called somebody to do something, the first thing he did was to hook them up with somebody who was already going in the direction that God wanted them to go. All I'm simply saying is God was connecting them to an agenda that he already had established and need your supernatural potential if you allow him to have it. Because remember Ephesians 1:17, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the purpose or plans of his calling and what is his inheritance in you. God has something in you that he needs to inherit. So the first thing he do, he'll always connect you to somebody that has his agenda, that's privy to his agenda, so that you can begin to unlock the potentials on the inside. Now watch this. The first two are calling from God or connecting to the agenda, which means connected to that person. It can happen either way. One can happen first and the other one can happen second. You can either get called first and then you find your connection, or you can find your connection and God begins to unfold some things for you. It can happen either way. But this third one, watch this. I'm almost finished. This third one. You must have cooperation with the connection. Now cooperation is such a light word. Let me say it this way. There must be a total submission to the connection.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's good, bro.
God is not going to connect you to somebody that knows less than you. He's not going to connect you to somebody that knows less than you. He's going to connect you to somebody that's further advanced than you. Okay. Then if that's the case, then Ephesians 4:11 don't make no sense if it works any other way. It's that the fivefold is to mature us so that we can do the work of the ministry and build the body of Christ. So you're going to have cooperation or total submission to the person to God who have connected you to, because they are carrying the priviness to the agenda of God. They're carrying the secrets. Now, they might not know all the secrets now at that particular moment, but they have access to secrets that you don't have access to. All right, why God told Abram, I'm going to make you a blessing.
Yes, sir.
See, there are some people, see, these men and women of God that are in here, they started hearing God on a level way before you started hearing God on that level. See, we got to deal with facts. People don't understand why I get revelation knowledge. They don't understand it. The reason why I get revelation knowledge like I get it is because I'm hooked up to an agenda. When I get hooked up agenda, I begin to see things that I can't see on my own. Now watch this. I see those things so that I can be an assistant. Not for me to be relevant. See, the reason why there are apostles, because apostles structures doctrine. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, because he was structuring doctrine. If you notice, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, but he didn't tell him how. We got to go to where? Romans? Who wrote Romans?
Paul.
We got to go to Romans 10 8, 9, and 10 to find out how. So an apostle structures doctrine. Now watch this. An apostle structures doctrine. That's why in the latter part of the fourth chapter, I think it's around the 13th, 14th verse, it says, so we won't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Why did Apostle Paul write that? He knew there was coming a time when there was going to be doctrine in the body of Christ that could stray us off. Because there's no apostolic covering. Because it's not attached to an agenda. It's self-centered and it's meant to keep them relevant. That's why we got to get rid of these media preachers that are trying to come up with different revelations that's taking the body of Christ off in the left field, off in the right field, instead of staying focused on what God called us to do. Because they got it. Because if your ministry is built off of how many people watching, you got to stay relevant. And if you got to stay relevant, you'll not open yourself up for Satan to give you revelations that don't make no sense. You may be seated. I'm almost finished. You may be seated. Yes, sir. I receive, sir. I receive. It's a $500 check. Me too. Be seated. Now, listen to this. 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 You must have cooperation with the connection or the person that God is using. This means submission to the agenda of God through that person. If you cannot do this, it's only one of two reasons, or it may be both. One, either you can't trust the person you are connected to, or you are not trustworthy. Not meaning that you don't have integrity, but your true intentions are not to advance God's agenda His way. Either way, you got to fix both of them. It's not up to the leader to fix it. You got to fix it. Either you got to make some moves. You got to make some moves physically. Like with your feet. Or you got to make some moves mentally. With your mind. You got to make adjustments. Now, I'm trying to give a structure because I want to create momentum in our houses so that the agenda of God can be accomplished, so there's a momentum, because I'm tired of the body of Christ gaining momentum and then somebody come along in a church and try to mess things up. We got to be so tight. See, let me give you an example, Jeremiah. We've been building LTMA for a while now. Now, we're on a track.
Yes, sir.
To where nobody can't come in here and mess this up what we doing. Nobody. We first of all, we want to know what you want.
Yeah.
Why you here?
Yeah.
What you really want?
Yeah.
And then we have a system in place. For instance, in Word of Life. We got preachers in Word of Life. In order for Apostle Dr. Thompson to acknowledge them as a minister of the gospel, you got to go to school.
That's right. Yep.
You got to find somewhere to serve. You got to join LTMA. Now, why is that? It's a structure.
Yeah.
It's accountability.
Yeah.
It's forcing maturity.
Yeah.
Because anybody, see, so people who, I don't even, people come to me talking about, I need to talk to Dr. Thomas because I think the Lord lead me to ministry. My first question is, I don't even have to go to him.
Uh-huh.
My first question is, did you go to school?
Right.
What part of the ministry steps are you in?
Yeah.
Are you in LTMA? If any of those answers is no, then I'm not going to waste Dr. Thomas' time. I'm not going to waste a pause of time. Why? Because you already proven that you're not attached to his agenda.
Right.
So if you're not attached to his agenda, why you want the blessing on his life? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? All right. I'm almost finished. When you have cooperation with the connection or the man or woman of God that has the agenda of God, it helps to establish Galatians 6 and 7. We see it in turn now. Galatians 6 and 7. It says, God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's some that you, if God do progress you through the fivefold, if God do called you to, and you sent out, and you sent out, you don't want to have no seeds that got to come up. So the same way you act with your pastor. See, the call of God is without repentance. So if you called God, you're going to wind up going out there. But that means the seeds that you planted while you was there serving are the type of people you're going to get. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth. So I'm not, I may not ever progress more than further than where I'm going now in the ministry. But I tell you what, if I do, I'm sowing seeds now to where I won't be dealing with crazy people because I was crazy. When you're connected to your connection, to the man or woman of God that you're connected to, go to 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm talking about releasing the supernatural potential in you.
Yes, sir.
See, all these things are to position you to release what God has called you to do. I believe there have been some prophets that have been aborted.
Right. Right. Yep. Yes, sir.
Because we wasn't in the apostolic.
Yes, sir.
I believe there are some evangelists that have been aborted. Oh, some of we got some self-called ones that's running around in circles.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about those that are been developed to help build the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm almost finished. Hold on. First Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Uh-huh.
God gave the inspiration, but man was writing them. Given by the inspiration of God, watch this, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wait a minute. For instructions in righteousness. If I am the righteousness of God, why do I need instructions? So that means because I'm in a position don't mean that I know how to function in that position. So I'm going to have to be instructed. And that instruction comes from my man or woman of God. That scripture going to have to become personal to you from your connection. See, I knew I wasn't going to get too many on that one. See, you ain't submitted and you ain't connected until your man or woman of God come to you and tell you no. And let's see how you act then. Let's see how you're going to behave then. Let's see how anointed you're going to be at that moment. Because that's why one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 21:19, in your patience, get your mind together and hold on, be quiet. Because God trying to talk to you one way or the other. What comes next? Go to Ephesians 1:8. Ephesians 1:18. We read it earlier, but I want you to see it. You must have conviction about the agenda of God. You must have conviction. Other words, that thing got to be churning on the inside of you. It got to be burning on the inside of you. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the inheritance of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That thing got to be churning on the inside of you. Which means you got to get to a point where I want this thing just as bad as my man or woman of God. I want the agenda that God gave them to come to pass almost better than they want to come to pass. Do you realize that, see, we get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. Do you know Elisha never asked for the double portion? See, we've been going around asking. No, it was Elijah asked him.
Yeah, right.
Now, what put him in a position for Elijah to ask him? See, we've been taught self-centric. We've been taught to go and I want to lay your hands on, I want to double portion your blessing. Well, how have you helped me accomplish what God called me to do? When people call and ask apostle to come and minister, and he got to calm me. Now, most times he I got to calm him down. But in these moments, when it comes to him and people call him to come minister, he got to calm me down. Because my first question is, I ain't seen you. I don't know you. I ain't never seen you in none of the meetings. I'm an accountant. I believe in numbers. I go to the books. Now, he might not go, but I go. I go to the books. I say, I ain't never seen you give nothing. So that means you don't have, your heart is not where. Oh, we going to preach the Bible in here. The Bible says wherever your treasure is. Oh, what we going to do in here? We going to preach the Bible. I'm over time. Hold on. Number five, you must have confirmation from the connection. You must have confirmation. God gonna call you, but you're gonna have to have confirmation. See, God ain't gonna call you. God ain't gonna connect you to somebody and call you without letting the connection know. That's why Elijah was able to ask Elisha that kind of question. Because he recognized what Elisha had to do. Do you realize God told Elijah to do three things?
Yes, sir.
He only did one?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He told Elisha, go anoint this person king. Go anoint this person king. And then I want you to anoint, watch this, Elisha. Notice what God say, a prophet in thy house, in thy room. So he only did one. He only anointed Elisha. Elijah had to do the other two. This is what I mean about connection. Because if Elijah had not been connected, God's agenda would not have been accomplished. Apostle. Joshua 1. You see, God kept telling, do you know that's a conversation between God and Joshua? It's a conversation between God and Joshua. And what did God kept telling Joshua? Do what I say, do what I told Moses told you to do. Do what Moses did. Wait a minute, God. You and I are talking face to face. I'm hearing your voice. And you can easily tell me. But you're not telling me because you've already established your agenda and you want me to not change it in any way. Some of y'all don't realize how the wall came down. The wall came down because he meditated what Moses said. When he meditated what Moses said, then he was able to get revelation knowledge. Do you want to know the fastest way to get connected to your man or woman of God? Meditate what they say. God is not going to go around them to get to you to talk about an agenda that he gave to them. We got to get out. Listen, I am not fussing. We got to get our house in order. We got to get our house in order because God is taking us places apostolically. And therefore, we cannot allow Satan. We can't allow outsiders. Come in and turn. The Lord gave him a prophecy years ago through some people, and he said, they're going to come some that come in and try to turn it a different way. Then they're going to try to turn it different. Don't let them turn it a different way. Stay focused on what I... So now, he don't have to really focus on anybody else turning a different way because he got men and women around him that we ain't letting that happen. We ain't letting that happen. You have to be that same way for your man or woman of God. When your man or woman of God speaks, you can't let nobody else in the church come talk to you about, I don't like what he said. I don't like what she said. At that moment, you ought to be mature enough to call them and say, listen, if my man or woman of God has said this, I might not understand it, you might not understand it, but you're going to hold your peace and we're going to see God unfold this. And you'll be amazed at how much God began to show you. All right, I'm on. One more. Watch this. Once you have confirmation from the connection, the scriptures that go over there, I don't have time to read it. Philippians 2:19-22. Joshua 1:1-8. All right. Once that happens, then you will have the confidence not to go out, but you have the confidence to be sent out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now when you go out, size don't matter to you now.
Yeah, right.
You, despite not small beginnings, you're not fazed because you have a backing.
Yeah, right.
See, Bishop said something one time. I believe when you said it, when you were dealing with the debt cancellation of the building and you spoke to it, you said, it's no longer just me talking to this debt.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember you said that? It's no longer me talking to debt. It's me and my man of God talking to this debt. And my man of God is anointed with finances, so you're going to have to listen. And you saw what happened.
Yes.
See, so now watch how God works this out. Watch how God works out. When you're connected to his agenda through a man or woman of God,
yeah,
when you go and talk to your situation, you don't no longer have to get your man or woman of God to come with you.
Yeah.
One more. Elijah sent one of his servants. It wasn't Gehazi. I can't remember the passage, but you're going to catch on. Sent one of his servants to take a box of oil and go anoint, I believe it was Eliahu. I think it was Jehu. I think it was. Go anoint them with this oil. He said, go in there, go to a private room, anoint him with the oil, tell him that he's going to be king over Judah. I believe it was Judah. King over Judah, and then leave. Right?
Yeah.
That man went in there with the box of oil. Now watch this. This is wonderful. Watch this. Went in there with that box of oil, got to the private room, poured the oil and said, you're going to be king over Judah. And the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and began to prophesy other things to him. Now watch this. He began to prophesy other things to him. Then he shut the door and left. What I'm trying to tell you, when you hooked up properly with your connection, with your man or woman of God, they will send you to do some things and then the supernatural potential because you can be trusted.
Right. Because
you can be trusted. The supernatural potential God will release it in you, and you will do things to assist the agenda of God.
Right.
Not only that, you can take that same grace and that same power and begin to talk to your situations.
Yeah.
You ain't got to keep running to your man or woman of God.
Right.
Your man or woman of God is there with you because y'all won.
Right.
Y'all on the same agenda.
Right.
Haven't we been reading John 17?
Yeah.
Jesus been saying, we are one, you are one, we all together. That means what he's just saying is, wherever you are, I am.
Yeah.
It's all based on connection to the agenda. Praise God.